As of last fall, some 74,000 student loan borrowers in Wisconsin had fallen behind on their payments. And since then, the U.S. Department of Education has announced student loan borrowers in default could see their wages garnished. Larry Mueller here. We're going to talk about the status of that and what are the options that are available to these college folks with graduates, maybe with student loans. Carol Trone, our guest. Carol is executive director of the Wisconsin Coalition on Student Debt. And Michelle was just saying, she has the up-to-date information for us. And so you're going to get some real accurate and helpful information. If you're having trouble paying off student loans, which, you know, there's, 11 or 12% of the people in the state of Wisconsin, so over 700,000, isn't it, Carol?
That's right.
That have loans.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, here we are, 10% of the thereabouts or more, and then 10% of that group,
correct,
is in arrears.
Yep.
So I hope, as you're listening to Carol talk, I hope you'll join in with your own questions, or maybe you've got an experience, special thing you want to talk about relating to this. Give a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. And Carol, thanks a lot for joining us. You lead the Wisconsin Coalition on Student Debt. Tell us about that organization.
Sure, and thank you for having me on the show today. So if you haven't heard of our organization, it may be because we have been around for about 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we started initially as just a very informal but concerned group of different kinds of stakeholders, seeing the news, seeing reports of student loan debt that was really becoming unaffordable for too many in Wisconsin and elsewhere. So our coalition is, we are a nonprofit organization. We are nonpartisan. We focus on providing solutions and resources that that people can act on and address their concerns about their debt. So we have state agencies who are part of our coalition. We have nonprofit organizations, colleges, universities, community organizations, and so forth. And so we share the mission of providing that information, resources free for anyone in Wisconsin. We provide resources for people before, during, and after the college journey.
I was on your website before the show, and it's an impressive list of cooperators that you have there.
Yes. And again, we're pulling together because, you know, I think that that all of us, all of your listeners, can probably think of at least one story or two about their own experiences, trying to figure out where to get help. You just heard an entire program from our amazing board member, Michelle Reinen, just before this, talking about all the scams out there. And so people are really struggling to find reliable and accurate help, and that's why we exist.
You know, let's give the number now. We'll give it again a few times during the show. But that number for free help and advice on student loans and accurate advice.
Correct. So we have a helpline, and that number is 833-589-0750. And that is staffed from Monday to Friday, 8 to 4:30. And I want to emphasize that if and when you choose to call that number, you're going to talk to a live person. You're going to have virtually no wait. So we are not a loan servicer. However, through generous support from Ascendium Education Group, which is also a coalition partner, this helpline is staffed by loan professionals. They're experts, and they'll help you navigate. And the information is not only accurate, up to date, it's confidential. We don't put you in a list. It's free. You can call as many times as you want.
That's a really, really, really good service. Is Wisconsin, I'm wondering about student loan debt. I mean, are we kind of average for, I mean, here we are, 10% of the people who have loans, roughly, or maybe 12%, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
So of those. Is it pretty common for?
You know, that's an excellent question. So in Wisconsin, we are a little bit lower than average. Nationally. So we're a little bit lower than average in terms of Wisconsinites who hold 2 or 4 year degrees. And so then it might make sense that we also are a little bit lower than average in terms of how many of those students take on debt and what the amount of that debt is. So nationally, it's closer to about 39,000. Here in Wisconsin, it's about 32,000.
There are probably some obvious reasons, but why are so many people struggling to pay back these college loans? I mean, what conditions created it?
Yeah. It's an excellent question. And we know that, through our talking to borrowers and people in the state, we hear a lot of different stories about why it's happened. I do want to say that one thing that maybe complicates the answer is tuition costs have actually stayed relatively stable when factoring in, inflation. It's everything else that's hitting all of us. And so it's things like housing has gone way up. Food has gone up. Transportation costs. At least for public universities, the amount of state support is also lower than it was maybe when I went to college. The federal support that students can get, things like the Pell Grant, have not kept up with inflation. And so there's just a bigger gap that students have to fill to be able to go to college and get those degrees.
When I was an undergraduate, I had $1,000 loan from it was a national defense loan. And somewhere along the line, I got a letter saying that they had some extra money, so they were forgiving a percentage of the loans based on people's GPA, and I was in the high enough GPA that I was forgiven.
Well done, Larry.
That's not going to happen now. And as a matter of fact, the Department of Education announced that U.S. Department of Education announced that it could soon be garnishing the wages of borrowers in default. Is that, well, they said it, so I suppose it's true. So when could that start happening?
Well, they actually had announced that it was going to start, and then they postponed. They delayed enacting that, and they announced that mid-January. But things for folks to know is that something that is pretty unprecedented in terms of why things are so confusing right now is that during the pandemic, they're one of the many things that the federal government did to help ease the challenges for folks is they put a payment pause for about 3 years. And so that payment pause, so no one owed anything, right? No one was in default. No one was behind. That ended in October of 2023. There was an additional, though, on-ramp period of 12 months, which meant, hey, your loans are due. But there will not be the same kinds of penalties that there normally are for non-payment. Well, all of that is gone. So really, you can find a pretty exhaustive list if you go to studentaid.gov of the consequences of not paying your student loans. But for many borrowers, this number that you shared earlier about the percentage, 10% in default. I'd say a good part of that, at least from the conversations we have, is people not knowing the status of their loans, not understanding are they in forbearance, are they not in forbearance, what loan program are they in, a lot of this confusion is not the borrower's fault. There have been changes to repayment plans. There have been, pauses, restarts. There are two, since 2024, now we have a new federal administration, different priorities. And so all of those things have created confusing messages.
Darren sent an email wondering if Earnest.com is a reputable company through which to refinance a loan. And that brings up a whole area of things we can talk about.
Sure. But. Yeah. So first thing I'll just say is that as a nonprofit, we're not a financial advisor. So I won't weigh into the merits of Earnest as a, you know, reputable or not. What I will say is that something for Darren and your listeners to note is that odds are what they have right now are federal loans. And, you know, something like 91% of student loan borrowing is done through the federal government, not private. If you refinance and you refinance into a private loan, you're going to lose the flexibilities that a federal loan provides. So things like income-based repayment, things like potential forbearance with, you know, if you hit a financial hardship, things like loan consolidation, things like loan forgiveness. And so while you may find that a private loan that you are thinking about refinancing into has a lower interest rate, just be very aware that if you do that, now you are in the private loan market and the terms of your loan will be subject to the lender and that and will not have the same federal flexibilities.
So you need to compare.
You do.
The
correct.
Federal against Earnest or anybody else who is where you could possibly refinance.
Right. Yep.
So, you know, we have this settlement lawsuit. It was brought about by the Education Department to end the Biden-era repayment plan, which was called what? Save or something?
Save.
Like that?
Yep. Saving on a valuable education.
So if you're signed up for the Save repayment plan, and it's set to, It's ended, right? Or is it?
See, this is the confusion that is so hard. So has it ended? Well, there was an agreement that was reached December 9th. And we can backtrack even further. There have been court actions from certain states who said this is an overreach. Save isn't a legal plan, right? This isn't an appropriate plan. So it's been in limbo since 2023, and it just keeps getting deferred, relitigated, so forth. So is SAVE done? You can't get into SAVE anymore. You haven't been able to since the court cases. If you are in SAVE, and there's several million of us who are, you're being encouraged to move into a different plan. Everyone is going to have to move into a different plan no later than 2028. And depending on when this proposal is accepted, that date may be earlier.
And, well, a new plan, could that be a new government plan then? Or
yes, it will be. So what we have that's also intersecting with all of this, you know, fast-moving landscape is the One Big Beautiful Bill that was passed, signed last July, included a lot of really significant changes. So both in the loan repayment programs and then in the kinds of loans and the amounts that people will be able to take out moving forward. So that passed with that law, we are going to see the existing loan programs consolidated into what is called the RAP program. So the Repayment Assistance Program will be what replaces any of the other income-driven repayment plans. And then there's always the standard repayment plan, which has always been in place.
Carol Trone, our guest today, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Coalition on Student Debt. We're talking about the student loan program, and about 10% of the people who have student loans here in Wisconsin are in arrears, and there are others that may be paying off and not having a problem, but could have a problem down the road, and there's plenty of confusion. Love to hear your own experience. or questions relating to this, you can call us at 800-642-1234, or you could email to talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Taking a look at student loan programs in this country, lots of folks are, 10% of the people who have a student loan are in arrears here in Wisconsin, and even higher in other states. And Carol Trone from the Wisconsin Coalition of Student Debt has the up-to-date answers on what's going on with the program. Again, you can join us 800-642-1234. You can email to talk@WPR.org. Someone's wondering, there's a public service loan program forgiveness. And I was thinking back to that was a long time ago when I went, was a sophomore or so in college. But is there a forgiveness loan? And if there is, who's eligible for it?
Great question. So first of all, public service loan forgiveness, PSLF, is still very much alive, and something that we like to help people try to distinguish is that there are repayment plans that have come through different regulation. Mm-hmm. PSLF came through an act of Congress, and so it sits on much firmer ground. So it would take Congress to repeal it. With all the news, all the executive orders, all the, you know, the flurry of things that are coming out, we hear a lot of we hear from a lot of borrowers who ask exactly that question. Is it still around? Can I still get it? What's happening to it? So there, if you call our helpline, and I should add, actually, if you're, you know, busy during the workday, you can also email us at questions@debtsmarts.org. And we also, you know, provide loan, guidance. But one thing to know is that if you are in, if you work for a qualifying employer. So that's another question that we hear a lot. Yeah. Is like, well, what, you know, how do I know, you know, I do this, I do that. It's actually based on who your employer is. You can go on the studentaid.gov website, and there's a whole page, actually many pages, that talk about PSLF. And one of them, you can just plug in your employer name. If you know their EIN, even better, mm-hmm. and it'll show you if they're eligible. And so it's basically 501c3 nonprofit organizations. It is working for
education,
right? So teachers, healthcare providers, I think more people are eligible for it than may realize. And the program, you know, was signed into law in 2007 under George W. Bush. And the rules are that you have to make payments for 10 years. You have to make 120 qualifying payments. Now, they don't have to be consecutive. There can be gaps. But 120 qualifying payments. So it took a decade for people to actually then qualify. Mm-hmm. And it was really off to a bumpy start. There was, your listeners may have, read about reports that initially very, very few of these applicants were, getting approved. That has changed quite a bit. So we always encourage borrowers who are calling in or emailing us that if they think that they may be eligible for PSLF, that they, we'll refer them to the studentaid.gov website, make sure that they've got a qualifying employment. You have to work full time. And it's the number of payments, 120 payments. It's not how much you pay. So
it's 120 payments.
Right. And so nationally, I know that those who have qualified for the forgiveness will get forgiven on average about $60,000. So
wow.
So it is worth your effort to look into that if that is your case and you work in public service.
Veronica in McFarland actually has something relating to that PSLF. Veronica, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. So I luckily have been certifying my employment. I have two different employers And I realized over a couple years after certifying, there was a large chunk of time that wasn't showing up in my loan count. Come to find out, there's actually an error in, I'm assuming, the reporting of when my loans were very first owned by Direct Loan Servicing, that somehow something didn't get recorded properly. So the date that my loans say to be in repayment of what CNAID.gov says is actually the date that they were transferred to, I think it was Ed Financial, which again happened behind the scenes. I didn't initiate that, anything. I have paperwork that says my initial date is correct. And I've been trying to get this changed because what's happened is that I have about 55 payments that are not listed on my PSLF counter at all. My certification for that same employer goes through, again, starting the date that they have for, again, when that loan was transferred.
So what would, it sounds like Veronica would be, it'd be useful for her to call your number.
She can certainly call and you know, and talk through that situation. First of all, I want to commend Veronica for being so on top of the record keeping of what she has paid, making sure that she has gotten her qualifying employer to submit the certification each year. You don't have to wait. In fact, you shouldn't wait until the end of the 120 payments. You know, unfortunately, what Veronica is sharing is not a unique situation, and persistence on her part is going to be key. So sharing that documentation and whoever her loan servicer is, contacting them, making sure that they update and reflect the payments that she has made and that she has proof of. So this is happening, you know, as I was mentioning, there's been lots of shifts in the federal loan portfolio, and many borrowers are hitting this. However, with your documentation and persistence, you know, so for someone like Veronica, if she has actually, once they catch up on the 55 missing payments, if she's at 120, what she should do is continue to make the payments so that she's not listed as being delinquent. And then any overpayment will be refunded to her. She'd like to not make those payments, but she definitely should make those while she is calling her loan servicer, making sure that their records are updated.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Well, boy, this time has flown. We got about a minute to go here. What should people do?
Yeah, so I guess I want to leave a few parting words of advice and maybe comfort. Is that, first of all, if you are in that situation of being confused about your loans, I had student loans myself. Thankfully, you know, I paid them off, but they were confusing. So if that's you, don't feel ashamed. Don't avoid it. You can call us. You are not alone in that confusion. There's been a lot of changes. And you know, we're here to help you figure out what do you owe? Who is your servicer? How can you figure out the best loan repayment plan to be in? We do know from national surveys that borrowers do want to repay their loans. We know that it's not people shirking the responsibility. So the issue is how to do it and where to get reliable help. And that's where we are who we are.
And the number to call, it's an 800 number, 833-589-0750. Carol, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much. Maybe we can do this again.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Get update as things go along. Carol Trone, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Coalition on Student Debt. And go online as well and take a look at the information they have on their website. And I thank you very much for calling today and for listening. This and all our shows are a team effort. We got Lee Rayburn and Jeff Robbins. We've got Joel Patnaud and Clara Nypert. And our executive producer is Jill Nadeau. I'm Larry Mueller. Thank you for listening and stay with us. Lots more in store here on WPR News.